want to talk to you today about judging yourself. Somebody say, judging myself. Judging yourself, and what I want to show you today in the Word, how that's good. Somebody say, that's good. That's good. So, how many know we have a tendency not to judge ourselves? So, we want to kind of, we have different ways of, you know what, kind of faking ourselves out. One of the ways that we can fake ourselves out is always looking for someone who's worse than us. And not only, that's kind of like a double whammy, you know what I mean? Not only, you know what, do we not look so bad, how many know it's kind of fun to try to find somebody who looks worse than us or acts worse than us, you know what I mean? Or is, you know, it's like, hey, I'm not that angry, they're angry, you know what I mean? And watch this, when you argue with somebody like that, they'll get angry. Is that not right? But what I'm saying is, you start to deflect. Many times, when you will have a disagreement with someone, they will accuse you of the very thing that they are doing. How many could raise your hand and say, oh, I know someone like that? Well, the question today is, are you someone like that? Because we all can be, and in different areas, everybody say different areas, we want to look and say, you know what? Well, it's not that, I'm not that bad. The problem with that is, how many know that kind of mentality, you never get better? There's something very healthy about you looking and seeing yourself and saying, you know what, that's how I, oh my goodness, that's how I look. I told this story before, we've all done it. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, this just happened yesterday. You know what I mean? I'm walking around, you know what, and you know, I don't know how long I've been walking like this. You know what I mean? You know, I had a cookie in the morning, you know what I mean, chocolate chip cookie. I probably had, you know, a chocolate chip around here or something, I don't know. But Joel looks at me and he goes, And then I just went, oh, okay, you know what I mean, whatever. Thought I got it, you know what I mean. Then later on in the day, I mean, somebody say way later on the day, I see my watch. Didn't you do the same thing to me? How many know a little self-examine would have been good yesterday for me? What am I doing? I'm just walking around, man. I'm a cool head. You know what? I'm thinking I look great. I'm cool. I'm a geek, man. I got some child, you know what, talking to people, saying hi to people. You know what I mean? How many know some people are just too kind to tell you, you know what I mean? And it's not that. It's just they don't have that close relationship. You know, Joel, it is actually kind to tell someone, you know what, that they got, you know what I mean? But they just, you know what I mean? So all those people between whatever it was, you know what, 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock, you know what I mean? Just, you know. Somebody say self-examination is good. So I want to show you, because the truth is, if we don't talk to you about something like this, here's what I'm saying. We have to have a paradigm shift in this, because there's a tendency that we all have to not examine ourselves, because it is, how many know when you examine yourself, sometimes you see stuff you don't like? And I'm just saying, and there's some things that, sometimes there's things that we just don't want to change in our life. But I think if we look at, here, let me give you an example. Sometimes you might not want to go on a diet because you recognize then you can't go to Tommy's and you want to go to Tommy's or whatever. But sometimes, if you get on the scale will shout at you louder than Tommy's will shout at you. I this is for the people watching by video. This is for none of these people. I hate to use that example, but I think it is a good example because we can relate to. Sometimes you'll look at that and you'll go, oh my goodness, and that will shout louder. So self-examination is very, very healthy for us. And we really need to develop a willingness to do it. That's why I want to talk to you today. And I'm going to just, I won't be long, but I've got some three things that I think are really going to help us, four things that will help us examine ourselves, and it will motivate you to want to examine yourself. Number one, why is it good to examine yourself? Number one, because when you are looking at yourself, you tend to not be looking at others. When you're looking, they say a lot of accidents are caused by a not focus of the eyes or a wrong focus in the eyes. So somebody is reaching over, to get some sunglasses. As they're reaching over, the eyes tend to go where the hand goes. So they're reaching over, and they didn't intend to, but they're focused on the glasses. Somebody stopped in front of them, boom. Do you understand? Well, we do the same thing. Many times, we're focused on other people's issues. How many know other people have issues? See, you didn't even want to say yes because that's the point. But you know, it's like, man, you know, oh, man. And we could talk a lot about other people's issues, where they're like that, and they're like this, and where they're like that. And all the time that we're discussing, or you or I are looking at someone else's problems, the problem is we are not fixing our problems. Amen? But how many know sometimes it's funner to talk about someone else than to look at yourself and fix your own problems? And it's easier for you to criticize someone else not knowing what they've gone through. See, I think we should be really, you know, last year, the beginning of the year, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me so clearly. And he said, you've got to teach your church. And we spent probably the first two, almost 3 months last year just talking about not judging. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, this is a reoccurring message that you've just got to. It cannot be a one-time, one-month message. This has got to be this reoccurring theme in your church. Somebody say amen. Amen. When I was a children's pastor, we had this reoccurring theme in the children's church. What was it? Children, obey your parents. It was just reoccurring all the time. It was such an emphasis. It was such an undergirding of whatever we were teaching. We were teaching children, obey your parents. I believe the same thing needs to be at Hope. That whatever we're teaching, we have to remind ourselves that, you know what, we can't judge. And as you're spending time criticizing and observing and figuring out, you know what, other people's problems, you know what, then you spend no time in figuring out your own problems. Does that make sense? And listen, if you're a multitasker, praise God. I'm not. Amen. You know what? I cracked up because we were having a discussion the other day, and all everybody in the family, and you know what? And I just laughed because I just saw a marriage counselor. I saw him through his eyes. Because he was teaching on marriage, teaching on how men acted and how women acted. You know what I mean? And he does this, wait. She has two kids. Wait. Okay. And right in that conversation, I told one of my kids, wait. You know, exactly. Monterey, I was like, okay. I don't multitask well. I got all excited because I heard on the radio about a year ago that they did studies of multitaskers. And they found out that, you know what, one of the problems with multitaskers is they tend to not do something with excellence because they're multitasking. I'm like, oh, praise God. So I just want to show you a couple things real quickly. Genesis chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, you know this. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? This is God speaking to Adam. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Look at his response. Then the man said, go back to the next 2:11. Have you eaten of the tree? What was the question? Have you eaten of the tree which I can't imagine? Very direct, very simple. Straightforward, here's the question. Did you eat? Watch his response. Watch how evasive it is. Watch how he's focused, but not focused on his issue. Then the man said, the woman. It's not what I ask you. The woman whom you gave me. Let me tell you, there's some people's faults around here. Let me tell you, God, you want to talk, we're going to talk. But you know what? Don't focus on me. It's her and it's you. That's the issue right here. Her and you. Don't start talking about me. See, do you understand the problem? The problem is when you are focusing on other people's issues, you don't even recognize what you do. You can't. your mind is going in a different place. It's following. It's you. People talk about this all the time. You know what? Here, you made me so mad. Come on, be honest. How many ever said that? Here, let me help you. How many have ever somebody else made them mad? Raise your hand if somebody else. Okay, raise your hand. Keep it high. I'm going to bust you. Nobody makes you mad. Nobody makes you mad. You know what? You give up your power to them. You relinquish your peace. Hold your peace. Don't give it to anybody. Yeah, but they, you know what? They cut me off. They took my space. I was clear. I even had my blinker on. Okay, you know what? They took your space, but not only did they take your space, they took your joy and they took your peace. Here's the thing. They took it, but you gave it up. You relinquished it to them. I'm not saying people aren't challenging. I know people are challenging. Amen. What I'm saying is, you know what? As long as you're watching what they're doing, as long as you're focused on what they did, and notice in the text. How many know as you are sometimes blaming somebody else, sometimes you are absolutely wrong? How many know in this text, you know what? I'm not saying that the woman didn't have her part in playing. How many know we can influence people? So I'm not saying she didn't have her role, but how many know God had no role in this? You gonna blame God? Yeah, it got real quiet in here. You gonna blame God? I'm just pointing out that much of the time, you know what, someone, i.e. Adam, i.e. maybe you, are, you know what, are wrong in your accusation against that other person. But you, let me just tell you what, if I had green color sunglasses, you were all green. Yeah, those funky, I don't know how I got these. I got some funky pair of glasses and they're orange pink, amen? Yeah, I put them on sometimes. It is so psychedelic. It's freaky. But when I put those on, everybody is orange pink. Here's my point. My point is, if you're dealing with an anger problem, you know what? You think everybody's angry. You're able to find, you ever get a new car, or you ever start looking for a certain kind of car, and all of a sudden you notice, man, there's another one. All of a sudden you start noticing, that's how it is in your life. When you have an area of insufficiency, it's easy for you to point out somebody else's insufficiency. It's, you know what it is? You're deflecting what's really going on in you. Wow, it's getting really quiet in here. You're deflecting what's really going on in you. And I'm just showing you in the text, and you can do it to where Adam does it so well that he's even blaming someone who's blameless. I'm just submitting to you that you might be blaming someone who is blameless, or you might be throwing 100% of your issue to this person, and they weren't completely free from fault, but they were very mildly free from fault. You ever talk to someone and you were at fault? You did kind of let your emotions up a little bit, but you weren't yelling at them. You just got, you know what I mean? I remember one time in the grocery store, I was planning on going with the kids to camp. I was running the camp. I told the manager, you know what, 3 months in advance that this was going on, and the assistant manager said, yes, we'll give it to you. I even reminded them 2 weeks before. It was so important. The schedule comes out, and I'm scheduled the whole week. And I knew who wrote the schedule. The assistant manager wrote the schedule. And I went to the assistant manager, and I was like, what is up? This is important. And he got, and I didn't say, hey, what's up, man? This is important. What are you doing? That wasn't like that. But you know what? I just raised my voice a little, and he said, you know what? He said, don't raise your voice to me. And I thought, And I examined that. I thought, you know what? That's right. I shouldn't have raised his voice to him. He's a manager. And I shouldn't have done that. What happened? My emotions got. But what I'm saying is, a lot of times, people who are insecure will point to you in the very thing that is going on in their life. I said people that are insecure. I didn't say you. But how many know we can do that same thing? We can be insecure. And we can find fault in other people. And here's the problem. When you're finding fault, how many know what Adam is not doing here? Come on, think. Somebody tell me what Adam is not doing. What? Yeah. He's not taking responsibility. He's not dealing with his issue. Why? Because he's too busy, you know what, looking at other people, i.e. my first point. Because when you're looking at yourself, because when you are looking at yourself, you tend to not be looking at others. Or to say it the reciprocal, when you're looking at someone else, you're not looking at yourself. I wrote this. Listen to me. You will never grow if it's always someone else's fault. You'll never grow if it's always someone else's fault. And here's what I'm asking you to do. Have the integrity right now to look at yourself and recognize if you were one of the persons that, no, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. If you have a tendency to always blame others, listen, you're never going to grow. You're never going to grow. Because here's why. Because you're never working on yourself. And so when you're blaming others, you're not going to grow. How many know it can't always be somebody else's fault? I mean, if you just took logical odds, it can't always be somebody else. If you are the person who thinks it's always somebody else's fault, you know what? You're probably one of those very insecure people. And today, you've come to the right place. Why? Because, here's why. Listen, I'm not against you. I'm for you. But the truth is going to set you free. See, we have to be confronted with the truth. Right? What's going on? How is it then in the course of time, it's always my wife's fault? It's always my kid's fault. It's always my neighbor's fault. It's always the intern's fault. It's always the LIT's fault. It's always, you know what I mean? Well, wait a minute. What about what's my fault? You know what I mean? I was talking. We're gonna do a promo, if I have time today, on the intern program. We are recruiting. Listen, if you are graduating from high school, young adult, or you just have you just feel like the Holy Spirit has called you into the intern program. It's 1 year, it's a lot of work, but it'll be one of the best years you ever did. And amen. And we recruit and we encourage people, you know, get in the intern program, get on the LIT program. That I was teaching the interns because I was doing the baseboard. You know what? And the rooms are already full, so they had to move everything into the center. And I taught them. I said, hey, listen, if we do all this work and I have beautiful baseboard that I'm doing, but when I'm doing the baseboard to lift and put everything in the center, we just drag it on the new flooring and it jacks it all up. You know, I said, guys, come here. And we went, you know what, to my office and we looked and we saw the ceiling, and the ceiling had just been painted. Looked beautiful. Except when somebody was painting the ceiling, they painted part of the ceiling fan. I said, how many know when we paint the ceiling, I don't want to paint the ceiling fan. So, oh, this looks good, but now this got jacked up. How many know we're not better now? We're just kind of, we might even be a little worse. Amen. So I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to move this really carefully. Here's the thing. If that floor is all jacked up, whose fault is it? Think about it. Here, let me make it easier for you. If those interns who are all young and all inexperienced, I'm not, that's not a negative, but just because they're younger, don't have a lot of experience, if I go in there and the floor is all jacked up because I never said anything to them, who's to blame? So I anticipate. Somebody say anticipate. See, well, I'm taking responsibility. How many know in this church, here, let me give you another story. So this lady's walking by, you know what, this week, and I see she's talking to AJ. And I see she's talking for a while, and I can kind of tell her body language that she's not having a pleasant conversation with AJ. So I said, hey, ma'am, is there something I can help you with? I said, I'm Pastor Drew, and it was hot. I just had my shorts and my, you know, T-shirt on. I was doing the baseboard, so, you know, I was a mess. I said, I'm sorry for my appearance, but I'm Pastor Drew, and is there something I can help you with? And she had an issue. And I won't even go through her issue. But the point is, you know what? I didn't put my hands over my head and go, la, 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 la. I don't care what you say. I can hear you. You know what I mean? That's no. And even though the truth is, I think she was probably a little over the top and a little hypersensitive. And I did think that. But I also thought, you know what? And here's what I told her. I said, you know what? I'm looking at things from this side. And I stood like here. I said, you know what I think is really important? For me to also hear it from this side. And I went over towards, you know what, her facing the church. And I was honest with her. I said, I think, you know what I mean, that, you know, I think there's a balance here. But my point is, we've got to take responsibility for what we can take responsibility for. And if I'm always looking at others, you know, I can come in there at the floor if it's all jacked up and say, man, what are you going to, you know, what are you guys, well, look at what you mess this up. Ooh, what are you thinking? Blah, 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 blah. Where I should say, Drew, what are you thinking? Why didn't you take responsibility for that? What do you think? They don't know. They don't understand that. They're young and they're inexperienced. How many know you pay for a floor twice and you'll be real conscious about fixing your floor? Is that not right? That's one of the main issues. Are you learning something? Listen, and you cannot, you know what, fix your own issues while you're so busy looking at somebody else's issues. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is Jesus. Jesus says, judge not that you will not be judged. Next verse. Guys, follow me. For with the judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck of your brother's eye? Here it is. And why do you look at this speck in your brother? God's not saying that the people around you don't have issues. But Jesus is noticing what I pointed out. That, you know what, usually the issues that you're pointing out to others are magnified in your own life. The reason you see them in others so clearly is because of your sunglasses that are on you. And look at the term. Here, I'm just telling you. Listen, either we catch the wisdom of God or we just blow off the most wise person in the universe. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't be offended at Jesus Christ, because let me tell you what, this guy knows how people tick. This guy knows what it's about. This guy knows what's going on. And someone who's always finding fault in someone else, usually, look at the degree. He says, let me tell you what's going on. Why in the world are you paying attention? Why do you look? Why is your focus on the speck in your brother's eye and you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Keep it here. Here's the big question. Ready? What's bigger, a plank? New King James says a log or a speck? What do you think? Jesus doesn't know? No, Jesus knows. And here's what he knows. He knows people, and he knows that the most critical people, judgmental. The most judgmental people are people, you know what, who are having, they have the biggest issues in their own life. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Here, you know what? I say Jesus is right. I say he understands how people tick. Watch this. Next verse. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck in your own eye and look, and look. See, what's Jesus saying? No, look. Get your eyes. You're on your brother. No, and look. Do you see? He's saying, no, focus on you. And look, a plank is in your own eye. What's he saying? He's saying, and look. Everybody say, and look. Yes. See, and look. Brother, the issue is you. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not your brother. You think it's your brother. And look, it's you. Watch this. Okay. Look at number 5. Oh, my goodness. You see this? This person is hypocritical. Hypocrite, first remove the plank out of your own eye, and then you can clearly see, remove the speck in your brother's eye. First. Everybody say first. Say, judging is good. How many know people like this? You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's you. I'm here. I'm not saying it's not you. Amen? But people like this, you know what? People start to just step away from people like that. Hello? Jesus is loving us today, saying, hey, Focus on yourself first. Hey, look, look. You're trying to get the speck out of somebody else's eye, and there's a plank in you, and Jesus has the integrity to say, let me tell you what this is. Let me tell you what. I love Jesus because Jesus is straight up telling us the truth. Jesus says, you know what you are? You're a hypocrite. How many of Jesus is walking in love when he calls us this? I don't know. What we need to do is first look in our own eye. Okay? Number two. Why is it good to look at yourself? Number two, because you can really only fix one person. Is that not right? Who can now I understand you can influence other people, but how many know you can really only fix one person? You can influence people, but you can really only fix you. It's really only one person you can fix in you. And how many know if you want to be an influencer of others, if you'll fix you, you'll be a better influencer of others anyway. Is that not right? Genesis chapter 4. Let's go. Let's do Genesis chapter 4. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offense of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. An offering, sorry. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. Keep it here, of their fat. Notice, the one brother brings an offering. I don't think it's coincidental. I think the words are chosen very specifically. But this guy bought the firstborn. Everybody say the firstborn. Listen, it's really important that you, listen to me, I'm going to teach you faith. How many know faith pleases God? There's something, and it's throughout the Bible, there's something that honors God by you bringing him the first. Everybody say the first. If I had $10 bills, if I had 10 $1 bills, you know what? I could lay them all out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I could ask you, what bill is the tithe? The first bill. The fifth one is not the tithe. Yeah, but that's 10%. No. That's not the tithe. The first bill is the tithe. Why is God specific here? Here's why. Because he doesn't want you to wait to the end of the month and give him the leftovers. And if there's 10, oh, praise God, there's 10% left over. He doesn't want that. He doesn't even call that the tithe. What he wants is he wants, before anything has happened, for you to give him first. Why? Because God... Two reasons. One, because God wants to be first, number one. And two, when you give the first, you know what? Then you're showing, man, I'm putting my trust in God. And he loves that. Next verse. But did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Next verse. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? Next verse. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Stop right here. What's my point? My point is this, that you know what? You can really only fix one person, but you can fix you. Listen, the Holy Spirit's a helper. The Holy Spirit will point out areas, and he won't point out areas and say, man, let me tell you what. You know what? You suck. You suck. You suck. How many of the Holy Spirit won't tell you that? The Holy Spirit will be gracious, and you know what? And sometimes very, remember when Tamara was over fixing that tile? How many remember this story? And I think, I don't know if it was this story or another story, but what did the Holy Spirit tell you? Did he tell you to shut up? I don't think, you know, when I was growing up, my mom used to say, shut up was a cuss word. We couldn't say shut up, amen. I don't know. I think that was a cultural thing with my mom. But anyway, how many know the Holy Spirit knows exactly? How many know the Holy Spirit will be right up front with you sometimes? Look at Jesus. He called those people hypocrites. And he told my wife, told her to shut up. But how many know, when she talks about this story, you know, how many know that was one of the best times in her whole life? Why? Because the Holy Spirit, listen, when the Holy Spirit corrects you, it's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he does love you. Amen. Are you catching that? So here's the thing. You know what? Don't think, you know, oh, you know what? I've always had this problem. I'm always going to have this problem. I mean, you know, my mom had the problem. My grandma had the problem. Stop identifying with the wrong people. Amen. Your grandma was your grandma. Your grandpa was your grandpa. You know what? They were dingle bombs, but who cares? You don't have to be. Amen. You don't have to keep on, you know what, gurgitating that junk down to your kids. You can stop the curse of your parents and your grandparents. And you know, you don't have to. Yeah, but they were an alcoholic. And I, you know what, hey, stop it. You make a decision. I'm going to stop right here. Stop thinking that you can't. Here's what the Bible says. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can be free from lust. You can be free from alcohol. You can be free from anger. You can be free from bitterness. You can be free from just all the junk that, you know what, you just think, oh, I'll never, no, stop it. You know what? God tells him, hey, wait, stop it. You're all freaked out in your, because listen, all you have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to correct you and allow yourself to be corrected. This is not, what's God telling this brother? What's God telling us through this story? Here's what he's saying. Guys, we've all done stupid things and we might be right in the middle of our mess. You know what, Joyce Meyer, and I'll tell you because this is what she says. It's public. But she says, you know what, I was learning about the things of God. I was excited about the word, but I was still all junk. I was still smoking cigarettes. I was still wearing short shorts. She says, I remember having a Bible study, smoking a cigarette in my short shorts. I would never go to that Bible study. Okay, whatever. All I'm saying, I probably wouldn't go either, praise God. But that's not the point. The point is that, you know what, that God, you know what, can use any of us. And to think that we can't be corrected because of no, guy, brother, understand, all you have to do is just allow the Holy Spirit. But listen, catch this. But you do have to allow him to correct you. See, self-examination is good. We need to stop resisting it. James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Watch this. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Everybody say, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I'm going to tell you what. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Okay. Listen, you can kung fu grip your anger, your bitterness, your pornography on the internet. You know what? One time, y'all remember this beer, Slitz beer? Remember that Slitz beer? And I don't know what he was saying. He was saying something about, you know what, you know, you shouldn't drink. But he didn't say Slitz beer. He said, it rhymes with Slitz. We laughed so hard. My dad never... The worst, my dad never cussed. The worst he'd say is when he got really mad, he'd go, "Hell's bells." That's as bad as it got. But here's what I'm saying. Guys, allow yourself to be corrected by the Holy Spirit and don't think that you can, listen, all you have to do is repent. All you have to do is go, oh, yeah, but I've done it over and over and over again. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says a righteous man keeps on getting up. Listen, if you had an issue, how many know you can have an issue, but if you get back up on the horse, a lot of times the issue's still not over, but it's more over. Come on, listen to me, someone. And then you, Satan's like, yeah, but you did it. Yeah, but I'm better than I was before. Amen. And then you fall off, but you get back up and you get back up and you're like, oh, you're better. Listen, I told somebody this. Prophetically, God gave us this word about 2 months ago. He said, you know what? I'm not mad at you. And there will be a day that you get back up on the horse and you won't ever fall off. I can testify, there's issues that I've had and had and had and had, but because of my willingness to get back up on the horse, you know, and every time I learned something, till finally I got back up on the horse, and I'm not saying that I couldn't still fall, but I'm saying I'm free. Does that make sense? And see, Satan was there, no, you're never going to be free. No. All you have to do is just, you know what? Repent. That's what he told Cain, right? Are you learning something? Why is it good? Number one, because when you're looking at yourself, you're not looking at others. Number two, because you can really only fix one person. So if you focus on yourself, you're really, you know what, going to fix it. Number three, because this is how you start looking more like Jesus. How many want to look more like Jesus? How many know if you acted, when I say look, I don't mean that you get a wig and I'm not saying that. How many won't know what I say look like Jesus? I mean you're looking like him in that your behavior starts looking like him. How many want to look more like Jesus? This is how you do it. James chapter 1, verse 31. This is so good. This is so good. James chapter 1, starting with verse 21. I said 31, 21. Therefore, lay aside filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness, keep it here, the implanted word which is able to save your soul. The implanted word is able to save your soul. Now, save as far as, yes, praise the Lord, we'll be in heaven someday. But that's not what that means. It means that there's a sozo. It means there's you become whole, which includes being in heaven forever. Okay, you got that? What does that? The implanted word. The word of God. That's what does it. Next verse, watch this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself. So you can't just hear the word. You've got to do the word. You've got to you've got to hear it, but you've got to hear it with the intention of I'm going to do this. So let me give you, for instance, if we're teaching on lust, you know what? You've got to have a willingness to, you know what? Get rid of your iPhone if you need to get rid of your iPhone. Ooh. You know, I like what the guy did in Courageous, you know what I mean, or one of those. You know, he gets out there and he smashes his computer. Fireproof. See, we get so, I have to watch the internet, You don't have to do anything. Jesus says it like this, in these areas that are causing you, you know what, to fall, you know what? He says, here's what I do. If I had to cut off my arm, I'd cut off my arm. And people want to make less of that passage. Read it. Read it yourself. Because here's what he says. Because it's better that you go into eternity without a limb than you go to hell. People want to justify it. Because I think pastors don't want anybody coming in, you know, somebody coming in. You know what? What'd you do? I cut off my leg last week. You know, I'm biblical. You know what I mean? I don't want anybody doing that either. Here's what I'm saying. But if you come in next week and say, you know what, Pastor, you can't text me anymore. Why? I don't got a phone. Why don't you got a phone? Because, you know what, a phone. Listen. Man, listen. If you need to get free, get free. This is not a church that will condemn you. And this is not a church. And wives, do me a favor. I know it's very hurtful, but do me a huge favor. Don't condemn your husband. You got issues. They're different issues. Any spouse, don't condemn your spouse. You know what? Here, let me give you the scripture on it. God has forgiven you way more than you've forgiven your spouse. So, men, if you need to smash your, you know, if you need to do whatever it takes. But you know what I would do? I'd come to the church. I'd speak to Pastor Vegas. Pastor Vegas knows my heart. She's not condemner. You know what? And we will just have our best poker face. We won't talk about you. I don't talk behind your back. You know, what in the world? You know, we are together. We're a family. We're one body. Why would I talk about you? And maybe your issue is different than mine. Maybe it doesn't make any difference. I just need to shut my mouth and not have an opinion about, you know what? Listen, maybe if I was in your position, maybe I'd be worse than you. Do you understand? We need to stop this judgment. You come in here and say, here's my phone. You know what, Pastor? And I'll give it to Pastor Vegas. She'll put the Man of God special on it. So it will help you not being able to see all those images. You say, well, yeah, but you should be able to watch those images and not lust. Are you crazy? You know, people sometimes just are stupid. You know what I'm talking about? Just dumb. The Bible says, anyway, are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Let us help you. We won't condemn you. Come to Men of Hope. I'm teaching on how to be free. And after we get done with that, you know what? Pastor Paul is going to go through another series that just is awesome. Why? Because we care about you. We care about your marriage. Next verse. Oh, this passage is so good. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Watch this. Watch this. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he is. What's the issue? Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. But he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. God will bring correction to you if you will look at yourself, but then take the correction that he gives you. Amen? Tamara, do you have one of those mirrors? Do you have one of those mirrors? Do you have one of those? You just do a selfie on your phone. Okay, I'll pretend. Give me my phone. That's funny. Cell phones are awesome. I was reading something the other day. It was too small. I couldn't read it. I took a picture and made it bigger. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Let's say this is a compact. When I'm looking at myself, I'll say, oh, this is what I look. But the Bible says when I walk away, I forget what kind of man I am. The Bible says what the Word of God is, because here's what the Word of God will do. The Word of God will show you. Listen, that's why it's so important to come to church. When? Every Sunday and every Wednesday. Never miss. That's why it's so important to read the Bible yourself. How many are reading with us in Revelation? How many are reading with us in Revelation? If you're not, go outside at the end of the service, get a card, and find out where we are. What? You can download the Hope app. Even better. Here's what I'm saying. Revelation shows me something. You know what the thing that I love about reading Revelation is? And how many know we need to understand the love of God? Amen. If anything we need to understand better, it's the love of God. How many would say amen to this? Amen. But can I tell you what else we need to understand? The wrath of God. Ooh, didn't get a lot of amens on that. Let me tell you what, God is, you know what, saying, and just so you know, I love Revelation. We were reading it the other day, because you know what, as these people are the wrath of God is being poured out, you know what, these people still won't repent. Somebody says, oh, that sin sent them, yeah, that sin of pornography sent them to hell. That sin of lust sent them to hell. That sin of greed sent them to hell. Listen, none of those sins sent anybody to hell. You know what sent people to hell? The rejection of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you what, those sins aren't a problem. Why? Because the blood of Jesus covers all those sins. All anyone has to do is, That person who's in lust, that person who's in any kind of sin, sexual sin or greed or covetousness, whatever it is, what's the issue? The issue is you won't let go and turn to Jesus. That's the issue. Are you learning something? Yes. But if we'll look, oh, look there. Oh, I got an issue with greed. Oh, look over here. Oh, look, this is me. How many know when you're looking in the mirror, who are you looking at?
You.
Yourself. I don't go like this. Ooh, you know what? Let's see. What do I look like? I don't do that. Because I'm not looking at me. If this is a mirror, I'm looking at me. Amen. Is that not right? When you come to church, when you read the Bible, here's what you're doing. You're looking at yourself. Praise God. I should have looked at myself yesterday. Amen. I went to walk around with chocolate on my face all day long. That's us. What's my point? My point is, guys, the Word, you're looking at yourself. Oh, praise God. Thank God. You know, I thank God that Laura's here today because she needed this sermon. Oh, my goodness. You know, praise God. Thank God. You know, thank God Mickey needed this. Oh, thank God. I hope Mickey hears this point. Oh, my goodness. Really? No. I hope we hear. The Word is to magnify your, to show you your issues. Do you see that? That's the purpose. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe I'll get to my last point next time. Sweetie.
It's interesting because if you would have taken the time and put in the effort after Joel pointed it out to you, right?
I mean,
he went like this, but he didn't take the time to really go investigate and to deal. Am I okay? He didn't go look in the mirror and go, am I okay? Did I get it? Is there any more there? Right? If he would have done that, then it would have still been sitting there at 4:00. And the fact that he thought he dealt with it is irrelevant because it was still there. Why was it still there? Because he didn't take the time and the effort. He quite frankly didn't care enough to step in front of a mirror and go really check it out. And that same thing is with our issues. Sorry, you opened this Pandora's box. So it's okay. He really didn't. But we're not talking about, you know what, the vanity of whether our hair is combed or our makeup's on right or whether we have some food, you know, left on our face. We're talking about the condition of our soul and where we're going to spend eternity. Now, when we're talking about that, obviously, it's a lot bigger deal to take the time and put in the effort to look in the mirror. This is a mirror. It's actually a very good analogy because everyone can relate to that moment of, oh, my goodness, how long has this been like this? You know what I mean? Where your eyelash is half off or you have food on your face or, you know what I mean, you forgot, you've got one ear, you were trying on this earring or that earring and you walked out the door with one of each. I've done that with shoes. Hello. So, really? So, we can all relate to this because we've all had some kind of a moment. But here's the deal. Stakes are high when we're talking about our soul. And just like Adam did in the beginning, I want to go back to that initial exchange because it's very, very interesting. We all see what Adam did, and we can all relate to that too, can't we? We just go, mm-hmm. Everything Pastor said is true. We have a tendency to cut ourselves a ton of slack. And one of the ways that we do that is we compare ourselves to other people instead of comparing ourselves to the Word. Back to the mirror. And in that exchange with God and Adam, we see Adam do what we all know we have a tendency that our flesh wants to do. We're still in control. But when you get to the end of all of that exchange, Adam was being held accountable to what God had told Adam. And it didn't matter what Eve did, and it didn't matter all his smoke and jive. It just did not matter. At the end of the day, it was about God and Adam. And what did I tell you, and what did you do? And that's exactly how it is for us. Everything, we can smoke, jive, mirrors, we can do the whole thing. Compare, justify, we can do it all. But there will come a day, and this is why it's so important, there will come a day when it's just like it was with Adam. The ending is this. It's going to be you, and it's going to be God. And it's going to be what he said, and it's going to be what you did. And nothing else is going to matter outside of that. Look at Adam. It's all that mattered. Look throughout the Word. He lets us know nobody can take from us that which God has given us, except for us. We can do it. It's in John chapter 12, verse 48, and I want to just read it to you from, this is the NIV version. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words which I have spoken will condemn him in the last day. That's exactly what happened to Adam in the garden. And that's exactly what will happen to me and you. The next verse is, he says, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." So when we know what God's word says, but we, like Adam, figure out a way to excuse ourselves from it, and then we think that there's going to be no consequence and everything's going to be okie dokie. It won't be okie dokie. God's word is not changing. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He tells us it is his words. Remember Jesus said, "I am the word." Remember that? It's his words that will judge you. So when we go, "Yeah, but Lord, I just want you to know, like, they did this, and you remember when all that happened to me." You have that which judges you. See, the judgment's already made. It will not change. So now you decide where you're going to line up. Are you going to line up with the word, and now there's not a judgment on you? Or are you going to excuse yourself from the word, and you think that you're going to be the exception? See, now we understand God. When he said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever," when he said that the word will never pass away, see, that's not, if we would just get a grip on how easy and real this is, so that we could get real with ourselves and make sure, when it comes to unforgiveness, don't step here and go, "Yeah, but they did this, and oh my gosh, and you have no idea how much that hurt me, and you have no idea how devastating it was." See, we stand here with all of that. with our words, with our judgments on how it should all go down. But you're not God. And you're not the exception to his words. So that's why we got to quickly get back over here and go, wow, oh, as I judge others, that's how I'm going to be judged. Ooh, if I don't forgive others, then I won't be forgiven. See, now we got to deal with us. Now we got to look in the mirror, and we got to let him be our Lord. Not my will, but here. Not my will, but thy will. And I got to deal with me all day long. And I got to look at my, in the mirror, and look at my feelings, my emotions, my jazz, my heart, what I'm saying, what I'm doing. I've got to examine me. I've got to let the word pierce me and go, okay, so do you really want to not forgive? You got all that much hurt, and it's way more true than what Jesus said? Okay. Well, at least I make that choice, don't I? See, no one can make that choice for me. I make that choice all day long. Which is why I will be just like Adam when I stand before God. The only thing that is going to matter, what did I tell you, Tamara? Nope. What did I tell you? And I also told you this wasn't changing. And I also told you this is what's going to judge you. And so here you are. You have made your choice. Now depart from me, because I can't help you. Because I'm not a man that I can lie. I don't lie. When I said this was going to be the way it is all day long, is the way it is all day long. Never changes. I'm going to make me a liar so I can get into your justification and your junk and help you out right now? I can't do that. I'm God. And by the way, when we stand in this moment, did God do that to Adam? Was it God's choice to put Adam out of the garden? Was it God's choice that he would lose all that he lost? Was it God's choice that he would suffer everything that he suffered? Never God's choice. Always Adam's choice. I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Hey, choose life. It's a better way. And so we have to deal with our emotions, whatever they're about. Whether they're about covetousness, greed, unforgiveness, anger, you know what, selfishness, whatever it is, and then get up on over here and go, okay, God. Because when we look in here, that's why we're, give us this daily bread. It's why it's so important that we're holding each other accountable here like this. Because it's not going to change. And so when we get that, then we have to deal with me. See, I can't look in here and not deal with me and get away with it easily. I can shut it and go, well, yeah, but okay, I can do that, but it's not going to benefit me. Amen? And then another real important thing is when we'll do this to us, then we can speak into other people's life. See, because he doesn't say that log and plank thing. You can help your brother out. You can try and get the speck out of your brother's eye once you've dealt with you. And if we won't deal with us, we never really have a healthy body of Christ, do we? Because we all know, well, I can't really tell her anything because I'm all jacked up, you know what I mean, in this area, right? So I'm totally angry all the time and have all my anger fits, you know what? And then I see her with an anger fit. Well, how do I go over there and tell her, girl? You're right, how do I do that? Because I'm all a mess up in myself. But if I'll walk it out with God, and if I'll deal with that, and I'll take it to the cross, and I'll come through the other side, Now when I see her angry, I can go, hey, you know what I mean? Now I can be a sister in the body and in love, you know, tell her, hey, the man, I went through the same thing. And do you know what the word says about anger and la-da-da-da-da? You know what? Hey, I just want to share that with you, you know what I mean? And here's a tool that I use that really helped me. It's good, right? Now we get healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier in the church because we first get healthy ourselves. Amen? Amen.